Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew 4, we're going to read a passage here about the temptation of Jesus Christ. And what I'm going to talk to you about this morning is something that there's a great deal of controversy in the world about, and not only in the world, but in the religious world as well. And that is about who is ultimately in control of the world system that we're a part of. You see signs every now and then, Jesus Christ is Lord. And it might have, I remember used to, there was one, Jesus Christ is Lord of Dayton, Tennessee. And I know about Dayton, Tennessee, and I seriously doubt that Jesus Christ is the Lord of Dayton, Tennessee. He might be Lord of some people there. And then people say, well, the devil's in control and of the world system and so forth. And so tonight, this morning and tonight, and maybe next week, in a sequence of studies, I want to put together a series of studies about who is in control and why that is, and how we're to respond to that, or how we're to operate on the basis of that information. And let me begin by saying that not only is there a great deal of confusion about how the devil is working today, but there's a great deal of confusion about how God is working today in the lives of people and so forth. And there's great debate about that. But there's one thing that I think that to lay a foundation for this that we need to understand. And that is that much today that is attributed to God and to the devil is simply a reflection or a manifestation, I should say, of the natural consequence that came about when sin came into the world. For example, if a hurricane hits a town and just wipes it out, you got some people say, well, God's getting even with those people. Remember back when New Orleans got hit, there were even preachers who said that God did that because of the homosexuals in New Orleans. Well, pray tell, why did He do it to San Francisco or Chattanooga, Tennessee, or anywhere else? I mean, think about that, folks, how irrational that kind of thing is. On the other hand, people say, well, God just took His hands off of that and the devil brought that about. Now, when you start thinking about the devil doing certain things, you need to stop and think about what you're saying when you say that the devil has the power to do certain things, for if he does, for example, I know people that I've heard say, well, you know, we were trying to make a tape about something and the devil just interfered and the tape player wouldn't work and all that kind of stuff. Listen, folks, if the devil had the power to affect electronic equipment, there wouldn't be any messages on the internet, there wouldn't be any messages on CD or tape or anything else. Think about it. People say, well, the devil did. Well, why isn't he doing it all the time? You see, we have a lot of misconceptions that come from superstition, come from things we've heard, and people give it accounts of, well, this happened to me. Well, it might have happened, but what you have to stop and ask yourself the question, was that a manifestation of the power of God, or was it a manifestation of the power of Satan, or was it of just a natural consequence? Hopefully we can answer some of those questions. The first thing I want you to notice is that Satan, who has always been present since the fall, desires to be like God. As a matter of fact, he said in Isaiah 14:12 through 14, the last verse there, verse 14 says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Satan's desire in the beginning was to be like God. And so what you find throughout the ages after the fall is that Satan operates much as God operates in a counterfeit form. And so when Satan fell, God Almighty in the creation placed man upon the earth, and he was told to multiply and replenish the earth and to subdue it, which tells us there was something that needed to be put down. Satan shows up there in the garden, And the first thing he does is question the Word of God. He said, "Hath God said?" And when man sinned, there was a curse that came upon this earth. And it appears through the Scriptures, and I'm going to make a lot of statements and not read the verses, because tonight we're going to go back and in detail look at the verses that tie in a lot of these things. We will look at a lot of verses, but not all of them. But what appears to be in the Scripture is that when man sinned, that basically Satan had dominion over this earth. Matthew 4 will demonstrate that. Look in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him," now notice this, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain," notice now, "and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Now, I want to ask you something. Did the devil offer the Lord Jesus Christ all the kingdoms of the world? Yes, he did. Say, well, he couldn't have offered it. Well, if he couldn't have offered them, the temptation would not have been legitimate. The Bible said Jesus Christ was taken up to be tempted of the devil. If the devil offered something that he could not deliver, there was no temptation involved. That tells me that the kingdoms of this world and the glory of those kingdoms is under the dominion of Satan today. That's what it says. As a matter of fact, to make it even more clear, look over in Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, in Luke 4, verse 4, "And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." Then there was a point in time when God basically turned this world and the world system over to Satan. That's what the Bible says. Now, in Mark chapter 3, Jesus Christ speaks about this dominion of Satan and what has to happen before he can establish his kingdom. The world would represent the dominion of Satan. It's called a strong man's house in Mark chapter 3, verse 27. He says, "No man can enter into a strong man's house." Jesus Christ came from heaven, and he entered into that strong man's dominion, the glories of the world, the powers of the world, the kingdoms of the world, and man rejected him and put him to death. He's going to come again, and when he comes again, at the end of the tribulation, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19 that Satan is going to be put into the bottomless pit and he's going to be bound there for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ said in verse 27, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he'll spoil his house." So Satan has to be bound, he has to be put in that bottomless pit so that Jesus Christ can have his rule and reign upon the earth for that 1,000 years. Say, but what about Matthew 28? Well, look in Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, this verse here sometimes causes confusion among people because of what Jesus Christ says. In Matthew 28, in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. People say, well, see, then Jesus Christ has all power. Well, he says all power is given unto him, but he does not say that he is exercising that power in the earth in the sense of controlling all things. As a matter of fact, we know that's not the case because of 1 Corinthians 15. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15:27, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, now notice future tense, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. In other words, God gave him that position of rule and rank and authority on the basis of his obedience to death, his obedience to come and die for our sins. But Jesus Christ, as far as having dominion and control over all the kingdoms of the world, is not exercising that power today. You know that because of 1 Corinthians 15. Also, over in Romans chapter 16, when Paul is writing to those saints at Rome, in verse 20, he said, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Well, then, if he's going to bruise Satan under their feet shortly, he wasn't bruised at the time of the writing. And neither is he bruised or put down or crushed, if you will, today. Satan is alive and well, and he's operating in this world in which we live. And he has dominion over the kingdoms of this world. Now, as I said, you have to temper that with the fact that his dominion and his rule and his reign has to be limited to some extent by God Almighty. Or else there would just be total havoc. There would be no order and so forth. And I believe that when you look through the Scriptures, and we talked about this down at Paul's church on Wednesday night. He asked me to do this study down there, and so I did so. But it's interesting when you go through, and we're going to look at these verses tonight, but for example, when Moses and Aaron went before Pharaoh, Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, and it became a serpent. You know what Pharaoh did? He called the sorcerers, and they came in and performed the same miracle. When Jesus Christ came upon to the earth in his earthly ministry, in every passage where he sends forth his disciples, it mentions casting out unclean spirits. But you know what? In Matthew 7, there are people who the Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you. And they said, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, and in thy name cast out unclean spirits? So as Jesus cast out unclean spirits, there were those of Satan who cast out unclean spirits. And what you see, if you study this through your Bible, is that the devil always, God always gives him the ability to duplicate what God is doing. And I believe the main reason for that is that God has allowed man always to have a free will. And by the way, God will never override the free will of man by forcing something upon him. So, when you look through the Scripture, you'll see this manifestation of God and a similar manifestation of the devil. Now, what I want to talk about today, primarily in the time that we have remaining, and we're kind of, this may be a little bit backwards instead of doing it in a series, but as I said, all that I just told you a moment ago, we're going to run references on tonight and show you specific verses about where you can identify all that taking place. But what I want us to look at is today, in the age in which we're living, is how these evil spirits function. Now, people talk a lot about demons and demon possession. The word demon is never found in the Bible. The word unclean spirit is, and different, there are different places, different references to unclean spirits, but the word demon itself is never used in the Bible. There are other words that are used. For example, Paul talks about a seducing spirit and so forth. But it is clear in Paul's epistles the dominion in which Satan is operating today. And by the way, folks, when we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth, we're talking about distinguishing between that kingdom program, that is the offer of the kingdom to the nation Israel, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the first part of Acts, versus the church dispensation, or the dispensation of the grace of God that we're a part of today, and the doctrine for that dispensation we find in Romans through Philemon. And so, when we want to find out what God's doing today, we need to look in Romans through Philemon. For example, when Jesus Christ came in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He came and He manifested miracles, I mean, in a miraculous way. Everything was about miracles, signs, and wonders. The Apostle Paul had many of those signs of the apostles, but later we find no longer, there came a time in his ministry when he had no longer the power to heal or to cast out devils or to raise the dead. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 16, Paul is miraculously delivered from prison. But over in 2 Timothy, Paul is in prison and says, I'm never going to get out. I'm going to die here. So we see that there's a change that takes place. So it's important that we understand how the devil is working. Look, if you will, first to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to notice how Satan works in the spiritual realm, and then we're going to look at how he is manifested in the physical realm. That's the really the two components that we find primarily in the Bible. Physical, that which we see, feel, touch, experience. Spiritual, that which we believe, that which is we hope for and desire and so forth. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, get over there. In verse 1, the Bible says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now notice the first thing that is a manifestation of the devil, the seducing spirit. The first thing he says is they're giving heed to seducing spirits. And what does the seducing spirit produce? It produces doctrines of devils. We are to believe doctrine that is given to us of God, sound doctrine, Paul calls it. But just like there is sound doctrine, there is also the doctrine of devils. As a matter of fact, the next verse says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now here's some of the things you're speaking. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Now these verses have always kind of fascinated me because, you know, you think about the manifestation of a seducing spirit, and the first thing you have, the first picture you get is some people out there in the woods and they're sacrificing an animal, and you know, they got burning crosses or whatever, and it's called witchcraft, and that's what people think about. Well, these seducing spirits are preaching doctrines of devils, and all they're doing is saying that you can't marry and you can't eat meat. Now, I don't know how in the world those religions that teach that men aren't to marry, like priests and so forth, or that people aren't to eat meat, get around the verse. Because the verse is clear that these are doctrines of devils. Why is it a doctrine of devil? Because we're under grace. You see, it goes far beyond just simply meat. Paul's talking about here putting people under the law. And when people today preach the law as a means of salvation, that is a doctrine of the devil. It's not of God. Say, well, I know some good people that preach those things. Good people might preach those things, but it is still a doctrine of the devil. Well-meaning people might preach those things, but it is a doctrine of the devil. That's what the Bible says. He goes on to say, they're forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meat, which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. And then down in verse 6 he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith, and of good doctrine. Well then the good doctrine is set in contrast to the doctrine of the devil. And notice over in verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. That's the good doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The save thyself there is not being saved unto eternal life. Timothy was already saved. What he's being saved from is the falling away and the seducing spirits. It's entirely possible for a saved person to give heed to the seducing spirit. You know how I know that? Because he says they depart from the faith, and you couldn't depart from the faith unless you were already in the faith. So saved people can give heed to a seducing spirit. But let me say this. And it's clear from the passage, and it's another we're going to look at. That seducing spirit has no more power over you than you allow it to, than you yield to it. You do not have to yield to that seducing spirit. You can walk in the Word of God. You can walk according to the Word of God, and that seducing spirit has no power over you if you stand in the Word of God, in the Spirit of God. This thing about some kind of spirit come on you and you couldn't do anything about it, people exercising spirits, that's foolishness, folks. There's no biblical background for that whatsoever. The devil has no more power over you than you, except for what you... In other words, you know, really, it's just like the Holy Spirit. You know how much the Holy Spirit controls your life? The amount you yield to Him. You know how much the devil controls your life? The amount you yield to Him. Walk in the Spirit, and you not, shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there's a battle, there's a warfare going on. And it's for control of you. You see, those that are lost, He's already got them. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom, notice now, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So somebody says, well, see there, he can blind the minds of people. Did you notice who he blinded the minds of? Those that believe not. How can you keep your mind from being blinded? Believe. You want to be saved this morning? Believe the gospel. Believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day. And quit believing that you've got to walk an aisle or get baptized or join a church or do anything else and God will save you. For Christ's sake. He's blinded the minds of those that believe not. He can't just blind the minds of those people where they can't believe, as some people teach. He's blinded the minds of them which believe not. Look over 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means the serpent beguile thee through his subtlety, so your minds. Now, it's interesting, when you do these studies, how many times in relation to Satan that word is used, mind. He's blinded the minds of those who believe. He says right here, I fear lest by any means the serpent beguile thee through his subtlety, so your minds shall be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So the devil has another gospel, he's got another spirit, and he's got another Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Just like over there in the Old Testament, just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so it is today in the dispensation of the grace of God, he is duplicating what God is doing, counterfeited. Look down in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, now notice this, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. He's got another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit, and he's got his own preachers, his own ministers. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and call names and say so-and-so is of the devil and that kind of thing, but listen to what the Bible says. He said doctrines of devils are those that put people under the law. He said they preach another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. Well, then if they preach any other gospel, Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, then that which I preached unto you, let him be accursed. Well, what gospel did Paul preach? He said his ministry was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. To preach any other gospel is to be seduced by that spirit of Satan and preach another gospel. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. I'll tell you what, Ephesians chapter 2 first. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see, these people were lost, just like Paul was lost. And he said, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Somebody asked me, Winston, well, do you believe in demons? Do you believe people have evil spirits? Right there, everybody does. I mean, it's a spirit that is not the spirit of God. And he said, you walk according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit of God teaches you through the Word of God and edifies and builds you up and instructs you so that you can walk according to God's will and not the will of that evil one, that old serpent, the devil. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 27. Ephesians 4, verse 27. He says, neither give place to the devil. Well, then the devil must have some influence upon saved people. Well, look back up in the verse and notice what the context is. He says there in verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in what? The vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus." Now notice, that you put off, that you, not some kind of supernatural thing, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed, what? In the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for you are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You see, the devil has a system of theology. The devil has doctrine. The devils have preachers that proclaim that doctrine. And people believe that, and they give place to the devil, and their understanding is darkened. Do you know what the first thing God told Paul his ministry was going to be? Is to turn people from darkness to light. And he does that by the preaching of the gospel. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, he gives the instruction about putting on the whole armor of God, and he says that you might be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of what? Of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. The battle is for your mind, folks. That's why Paul said, "Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed how? By the renewing of your mind." And your mind is evil. Your mind is that which Satan desires to control, and many people, he's doing a real good job of it. I know people, you know, they laugh at this kind of thing and say, "Well, it's just a bunch of hooey, you know, the Bible." Well, let me tell you something. When you're involved with people and you see the things that are manifest in their life and the deeds of those life, that life, you can be rest assured that the devil is active today. He's not resting. He's busy. Now, there is a physical manifestation. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Notice, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." There are those who today are deceiving people. We just read about them in 2 Corinthians 11. And they themselves are deceived. And from what Paul said, it's not going to get any better. They're going to wax worse and worse. Look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Thessalonians 2, we're running out of time, so we won't turn there, but in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18, Paul said, "Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Satan hindered us. Well, what do you suppose Satan used to hinder them? I mean, was it just some kind of physical restraint? Well, let's look and see. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul prays for deliverance. He calls it a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. In verse 7, he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." The word buffet means to beat upon. So this messenger of Satan was beating upon Paul, buffeting him, trying to stop him from doing what he was doing. Look back in chapter 11, in verse 24. "Of the Jews, five times..." Now Paul is speaking of his ministry. "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and besides those things that are without, that which cometh unto me daily, the cure of all the churches. I would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Now who you reckon was doing all that beating on Paul? Reckon it was somebody with some little horns and a pitchfork and a tail sticking out? No, you know it wasn't, because you know what? He identifies who it was. He said it was heathens, his own countrymen, and false brethren that did all that. But he calls those people Satan, because their works were after Satan. After the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children disobedience. You see, the devil today has great influence over those that allow him to do so. And it is manifested by walking in the flesh rather than walking in the spirit. So somebody sees something they want, and they know it's wrong, but their flesh wants it anyway. And the devil says, "Well, you know, God would want you to be happy. God would want you to be fulfilled. God wouldn't want to hold anything good from you. But you know what you're fixing to do is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. So what are you going to do? You're either going to walk in the flesh and fulfill the lust of your flesh and become subject to that prince of the power of the air, or you're going to put on the new man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and do that which is right, even though you don't want to." People today operate on the basis of the working of Satan and his doctrine and his philosophy in this world. And it's always contrary to the Word of God. Self-fulfillment, all of those things. In 1 Timothy 5:15, Paul said there are some who are already turned aside after Satan. But I want you to notice over there in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3, and we'll wrap this up. It's going to take a little longer than I normally go, but not too much. But then we're going to feed you so you don't have to rush off to a restaurant somewhere. 1 Timothy 3, very telling verse here. I'm sorry. We'll read this verse and then go to 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3, verse 6, Paul is talking about the deacons and so forth, and he simply says there in verse 6, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." Now, look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 24. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to" what? "The acknowledging of the truth," notice now, "and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Think about that now. Think about that in light of what you hear about people being possessed with demonic spirits. And I've seen them on TV where they take them and they have these exorcisms, or they get down at church and they lay hands on them and they pray over them, and the evil spirit's supposed to come out and all this kind of thing. How does Paul say you recover yourself from the devil? Or how is it that you are delivered? Well, number one, he says that they may recover themselves. You know what that tells me? That tells me exactly what I said a few moments ago. Satan has no more power over him than you give him. If he did, you couldn't recover yourself. You don't need outside help. You don't need somebody laying hands on you or praying over you. You know what you need to do? You need to take heed, give to the acknowledging of the truth, he says. That's what will get rid of Satan and his spirit having influence over you, is for you to operate on the basis of truth, sound doctrine, the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. As soon as you submit, you're taken captive. But you can recover yourself by submitting to God and to His Word. You see, that's the good news. The good news is the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. But He's already given you a power over Satan, hell, and the grave. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. And when you get saved, you are given the Holy Spirit of God. And by that Holy Spirit, you can know the things of God and you can operate on the basis of God. Somebody said, well, don't you believe the devil has the power to make people sick? No, I don't. You know why? Because if he did, I don't believe anybody would be well. We'd all be sick. Think about it. Think about how absurd so many statements are. Well, the devil's just got a hold of that person, made him sick. Well, why didn't he make everybody sick? Why didn't he break tornadoes in every city? Why didn't he wipe out every church that's preaching the truth? Because he's restricted. And that restriction has been limited to that which we read about this morning. And the physical manifestation that you're going to see of Satan today is in people who have yielded to him and to his doctrine. And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And there's no limit to what a person will do when they subject themselves to the doctrine, to the teaching, to the spirit of Satan. And the thing that we saw here this morning is that that is not only prevalent in the lost people, but a saved individual who has already been sealed with the Spirit can subject themselves to that same spirit, that seducing spirit, and doctrines of devils. Therefore, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know where your problems come today? From your flesh. Say, well, doesn't Satan bother you? Not a whole lot. You don't have to. I got something else. This is my way continually. It's called flesh. You know, I've got the truth. I know the truth. I've got the doctrine, and I don't know it all, but I've got enough that the devil's not going to get control of my mind. But you know what? I fight the flesh, the desires of the flesh. And the old devil's out there continually trying to tell me that it's all right, do your own thing. After all, you know, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to walk according to His Word, according to His will. And He's given you the Holy Spirit to indwell you, to teach you the Word of God, to show you the Word of God, and to empower you. He said He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what? A sound mind. That's where the battle is today, folks. It's for your mind. If He can get control of your mind, He can control your life. And He'll cause you to walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind, as they walk in the vanity of their mind. But you can put Him off. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul said in relation to this, he said, we need to casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There may be somebody here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If that's the case, it's because the devil has deceived you into believing that there's something that you need to do on your own or within your own ability to be saved. Either that, or he's convinced you that this whole thing is just a lie and foolishness and you don't need to pay attention to it. Either way, if your mind has been blinded from the light of the glorious gospel this morning, you can believe the truth that Jesus Christ hung on the cross. God made him to be sin for you. He crucified him. He went into a grave and came forth resurrected. And you can receive that truth and accept that as payment for your sins as a free gift. And God will save you right where you are. No getting up and walking the aisle, praying through or anything like that. Just trusting what Jesus Christ did and will save you. Being transformed from death unto life simply by believing the gospel. You'll do that, in a heartbeat you'll be saved. And you'll be indwelt with the Spirit of God. And then the devil will really start after you. Because he wants to hinder you. He wants to keep you from doing what God desires you to do. We're in a warfare, folks. If the devil can get control of your mind, he's won the battle. He don't even need to operate in all these things that people think he's doing. All he's got to do is get your mind, get you believing that he does it. That's all he needs to do is just get you believing. This morning, believe the gospel. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in you, teaching you and admonishing you, instructing you so that you might be edified and built up in the truth, so that you might resist the devil, the Bible says, and he'll flee from you. Because he cannot contend with the Word of God. Recover yourself this morning from that snare of the devil by the acknowledging of the truth. He doesn't have power over you. Only that which you yield to. Would you stand with prayer?